Today we're going to have a couple of readings as normal. I'm going to start off with one out of Genesis. We're going to be reading a story about Jacob. Before I read the scripture, though, let me tell you where we find Jacob in the story. He is somewhere between where he has been and where he is going. So the road behind him is sort of complicated, and the road ahead of him is, well, it's sort of uncertain. He's exhausted, he's alone, he's sleeping under the open sky with a rock for a pillow in basically the middle of nowhere. And then the sacred, the divine shows up. It's one of those moments when the veil and the stories of the Bible, between the veil between heaven and earth gets a bit thin. So listen for that moment in particular. In this reading from Genesis 28, verses 10 through 17. Jacob left Beersheba and went towards Haran. He came to a certain place and stayed there for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones of the place, he put it under his head and laid down in that place. And he dreamed that there was a ladder set upon the earth, the top reaching into the heavens, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And the Lord stood beside him and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie I will give you to you and to your offspring, and your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south, and all the families of earth shall be blessed in you and in your offspring. Know that I am with you and will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. He had blessing and understanding the reading of these words. I also want to read a very short excerpt from the book called Thin Places, A Natural History of Healing and Home, and I'm going to butcher the name, it's an Irish name, Carrie Nee Darkatry. She's the person who wrote this, but she had this to say about Thin Places. Heaven and earth, the Celtic saying goes, are only 3 feet apart. But in thin places, that distance is even shorter. There are places that make us feel something larger than ourselves, as though we are held in place between worlds beyond experiences.
This is where you meet with us. This is a sacred space. This is where you meet with us. This is a thin place. This is where you meet with us. This is a sacred space. This is where you meet with us. Closing ground, we are standing on holy ground. Just by being here with you, just by being here with you, are never far away, mountain high or darkest day, deep down or filled with pain, you walk with us along the way. This is where you meet with us. This is where you meet with us.
My message this morning is entitled Thin Places, Finding Sacred Space in the In-Between. So there's my dad, most of you know, passed away about a year ago. There's this old hymn that my dad loved, Though I May Speak. It's one of those songs that sort of can sneak up on you. We'll actually be singing it later as our hymn today. But what always stayed with me wasn't the theology of the song as much as sort of the tone of the song. There's this gentleness, it's a kind of a hush in it. I remember once when I was younger hearing someone describe the verse in it that says the prophet felt strangely thin. At that age, obviously, I didn't understand what that meant. But I have to say, now standing here in this space, this very specific space, that has been sacred for so long, on the threshold of moving out and across the street, I think I'm beginning to understand that feeling strangely thin. Thin places. The Celt says, we have heard use that phrase for moments, when the boundary between heaven and earth felt sort of porous. When the veil seemed to flutter a bit and the sacred slipped close enough that you felt like you could touch it. You know, sometimes thin places are mountains or cathedrals. But sometimes there are those in-between moments, the thresholds. It's like a standing in a doorway. You know that it's not quite one room or the other. It's sort of both in that doorway. And yeah, that's basically where we are right now as a church, in the doorway. The building we love still belongs to us, but not for long. The next place is being prepared, but it's not yet home. That space in between, that's thin places. That's where we are now, a thin place. Which, believe it or not, brings me to the church calendar for this weekend. The larger church calendar. All Hallows' Eve, All Saints' Day, All Souls' Day. The church's calendar spends these few days over this weekend inviting us to, well, essentially stand in a doorway like I just described. We remember the ones who came before us, the ones we still miss, the ones that taught us to believe that love is stronger than the absence of love. Would we name them? Some folks even light candles for them, whisper prayers for them. And for me, as fall rolls in, I have to say that the air itself feels a bit thinner. The Celts might say that it feels like heaven leans in a bit closer to listen to us. And maybe that's the religious lesson of thin places. Not that we can escape this world, but that we can see through the sort of thickness of life, even when it feels overwhelming. See, when the veil gets thin, love becomes visible again, and we remember that we're part of something bigger, older, deeper than our own walls or our own worries. That in our scripture today, Jacob found that thin place. He was alone. He was on the run. He was sleeping on a rock. No temple, no altar, no hymn book. And then a dream. A ladder reaching into heaven. Angels moving up and down, and earth and heaven touching for just a moment. And when he woke, he said, surely love was in this place, and I did not know it. See, that's the thing about thin places. You rarely notice them while you are in them. They sort of sneak up on you like that song. Like a hymn your dad used to sing in the shower that suddenly means more than it ever did before. Like a building that you're getting ready to leave that suddenly feels more alive because you're paying more attention. I have been thinking a lot lately about this building. How it held so many moments that made the air grow strangely thin. The Sunday morning light that filters through these incredible stained glass windows, often sort of glimmering off of dust as it specks of gold. The way that laughter from the fellowship hall drifts through the hallways, echoing in those empty spaces on fellowship Sundays. Even a few times remembering the silhouetted image of someone who slipped into a back pew during the week, seeking out a still place in a far too busy world. These are thin place moments. You can't schedule them. They happen when love breaks through the ordinary, and suddenly we realize what has been true all along. Love has always been in this place. Sometimes we just don't slow down enough to see it. But there are memories here we're folding. The potlucks that turn strangers into friends, the baptisms that reminded us new beginnings are always possible, the funerals where grief and gratitude somehow shared the same breath. And I'd say if you listen closely, this sanctuary still hums with every hallelujah that's ever been sung here. That's real. It's worth honoring. It's worth holding on to. But here's the twist. Sacredness isn't limited to this address. Love doesn't retire when the building sells. The same spirit that filled these walls will meet us across the street. Probably sitting on the couch. Maybe the hot bug about the cider. I don't know. Thin places, you see, aren't built. They're noticed. See, we sometimes forget that the earliest followers of Jesus didn't have sanctuaries. They gathered in living rooms. They broke bread at kitchen tables. They passed the cup, held stories, sang songs, cried prayers, and planned how to confront the empire. Their thin places weren't made of stained glass or carved wood. They were made of their very presence. See, we are about to join those sacred ancestors again. This December, maybe beginning of the next year, when we pack up and move across the street, we must remember we're not stepping away. We're not stepping away at all. We are circling back. We are rediscovering what church looked like before there were pews to polish and roofs to repair. We're going home to the kind of sacred space where it could be said that love breathes the easiest. And I know that it's not easy. This place has been a refuge, a constant. Some of you have found faith here. Some of you found faith here after losing it somewhere else. Some of you walked in for a wedding or a funeral and discovered a community that actually means it when they say all are welcome here. So, yes, there is grief. Grief just means we loved well. Or as I'm a Marvel fan, I'm a superhero fan. Marvel superhero Vision put it in WandaVision. What is grief if not love persevering? But grief also makes us face for something else. Because when we let go of what has been, our hands open up to what might be. That's one of the things that thin places do. They stretch us, or maybe they just give us the space to stretch. At any rate, they remind us that endings and beginnings often share the very same breath. Maybe you'll feel that sacred thinness when we first gather in the new living room. Voices a little unsure, chairs maybe pulled in close, laughter filling space where a pulpit used to stand. Maybe it'll show up when a knock at the door cuts through a prayer. Or when someone's story brings quiet tears, or when a neighbor we've never met just wanders by and thinks about coming in because they heard the music through the window. That's what thin places look like in real time. Not grand, not polished, just real. So sacredness lives in the way we show up for one another. It lives in how we feed hungry and comfort the hurting and challenge the injustice and share joy. The church was never the building. The church was, and still is, the people who refuse to stop loving. The church was, and still is, the people who refuse to stop loving. So yes, it is okay to grieve. But don't mistake grief for loss of purpose. We're not losing our identity, we are remembering it. Maybe this move will make us a little more like those first saints that the church calendar calls us to honor this week. The ones who carried the story forward without walls to protect it. Maybe this is our turn to become a thin space for someone else. Maybe the Spirit is saying, don't build another tower of brick and wood. Build one out of kindness, courage, and presence. Maybe the Spirit is whispering, there's work. There's work to do right here, right now. And love travels light. When I think about my dad, about that hymn he loved, I can almost hear his voice mixing with ours. And in that sound, the air really does, for me, grow strangely thin. It's not spooky. It's not scary. It's sacred. It's the space where memory and hope hold hands. That's what we're standing in today, a thin place between what was and what will be, between sanctuary and living room, between earth and heaven, between grief and gratitude. And if we listen closely, maybe we'll hear that same quiet melody. The one that says, love is still here, humming beneath it all the time. So when the time comes to pack boxes, to hand over keys, to gather across the street, take a moment to breathe. Fill the air. It's thin with promise, thin with presence, thin with the love that refuses to stay contained. Surely love is in this place and in the one waiting for us next. And that, my friends, is more than enough. Maybe that's at least part of what the hymn was really saying all along. When everything feels uncertain, when the veil feels thin, when love and the hope feel like they're learning to live again, well, that's when heaven touches earth again. May we have eyes to see it, hearts to carry it, and courage to follow it all the way across the street.
You were there when your father said, "Let there be light." You obeyed when he whispered, "Son, you have to leave tonight to spend 9 months in a father's womb, 3 days in a womb." But it's the time between that brings me to my knees. No excuse me, and all I can so thanks, and I thank you for the time in between. It'll take much for this crazy world to rob me of my peace. And the enemy of my soul says you're holding out on me. So I stand here with the empty mat for you. That I've come down to my knees, waiting on what you'll bring and the things that I can't see. Though my song in the breeze, still I sing in the time in between. And I'm grateful for them all, but it's the time in between a little up to me that says everything. It's the reason I'm amazed. I'm amazed. Some days, and I thank you for the time in between. I thank you for the time in between.
Let's bow our heads. May we be still enough to notice the veil trembling. May we sense the nearness of those whose love shaped us. Their laughter, their wisdom, their steady presence woven quietly into the air. May the spaces between what has been and what will be feel less like endings and more like sacred thresholds. Where love hums beneath the surface of everything, waiting for us to listen. May every packed box, every swept floor, every final glance around these walls become its own benediction. a whispered gratitude for what has held us and what will hold us still. May we learn to see thin places everywhere in the shared meals, in honest tears, in the warmth of a living room circle where hope feels at home. May the memories of this space travel lightly with us. A soft echo reminding us that the sacred is never lost, only relocated. Still as near as breath, still as fierce as love. And when we breathe deeply and find the air growing strangely thin, may it remind us that heaven has always been this close. Amen. Receive this blessing. May you walk in harmony with each other and with creation, recognizing that we are one. May you know love and happiness throughout your life. And may your words and your actions bring that love and happiness to all of those you meet.
I'm just your therapist, Tina here, and it is long. As I survey the ground overheads, looking for a place to sit and breathe, I'm reminded of the streets of my hometown, how they're much like this concrete that's formed beneath my feet, and how I'm all wrapped up in my mother's face, with the touch of my father all around the eyes, and the sound of my brother's laugh. More wrapped up in what binds our ever distant line. But if I must go, things I trust will be better without me. But I want to know, life is better. This week. So keep on coming, these lines on the road. Keep me responsible, in a light or heavy mood. And do you be guessing with these blessings in disguise? I want to grace my feet and fade my life. Hometown Feather is on TV, and I imagine the lives of people living there, and I'm curious that they met me. Does they just want to leave? I wish that I could stay. But I get turned around, not to see happiness for blessing, but I'm still, I judge success by how I'm dressing. So keep on loving my tongue, keep me responsible to be in a light or heavy load, keep me guessing. To be blessing in the sky, I walk and grace my feet and bathe my eyes. So I sing a song in my hometown. I'll breathe the air on the streets. Maybe find a place to sit and breathe, and the answer Well done, nobody. You'll keep on coming, my Lord. Keep me responsible, be it a light or heavy. And keep me guessing how many blessings in the sky. I walk in grace, my feet, and paint my eyes. I'll walk with grace by feet and faith my eyes.